O Zion, let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise, and reown them in the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for tonight is recorded in St. Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 18. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. The Gospel of our Lord. Hi, Maddie. How many candles are lit tonight? Three, right? So the more candles we light, the closer we're getting to the coming of Jesus. Advent means coming, right? And who's the light of the world? Jesus. He's the light of the world, and he wants to live in us and shine through us to the world. So we've been talking about lights, like we say a prayer, guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. And whether you're a morning lark or a night owl, you still need to get out of bed, sleepyhead, right? And last week, We were talking about getting ready and being prepared. So if the forecast, the prophet says, there's going to be a big storm. Well, if it's in the summer, I want to have a flashlight ready. If it's in the winter, I want to have gas in my tank so I can operate my snowblower, right? Yeah, and there was a big snowstorm, and I was ready. And then I showed you that flashlight. But you got to have the right size of batteries for the right kind of flashlight. Or will the light work? No. You see, it's got to be the right fit. That's why Jesus is the right fit. He's the only light of the world. And all the rest, well, they're like the wrong size batteries. You see? Now, tonight, I brought something with me. Do we have an electrician in the building? Anybody in here ever do any electrical stuff? Huh? You know what this is? Light switch. It's a switch. And what do you do with a light switch? What's the problem?
It's not hooked up.
Oh, it's not connected. It's not hooked up, right? It's just like the batteries in a flashlight. If we don't have Jesus, the light of the world, in us, then it doesn't matter how much they flip it on and off. Nothing's going to happen, right? Right? So a lot of people live in darkness because without Jesus, the light of the world, all we can have is darkness. So what we need is for someone to come and get us the light, right? You know, somebody says to you, get the light, get the light. You see these pictures, Scarlett? You see these? You know what they're pictures of? You know who that character is?
Goofy.
Goofy. He's one of Missy Mouse's friends, right? Yeah, and you see what's there? What's right there by Goofy?
A light.
A light. And up here, the light bulb has what on top of it?
A light bulb.
A light. You know what that means? When the light goes on? Ah, now I see. Now I get it, right? Yes. So John the Baptist is in prison, and he doesn't think it's going to end well. And he's wondering about the light. And he wants somebody to get the light. John the Baptist wants somebody to do what with the light switch?
Turn it on.
Turn it on. Flip on the switch so that he can say, now I see. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, you are the light of the world. Without you, I'm in darkness. Thanks for flipping on the switch and giving me the light. Amen. Thanks for this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. And won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. It's Advent time. And without the clocks or the calendars, just with the burning light of three candles, we know what time it is. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. God is preparing a way into our hearts. And that way, that truth, that life is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, whether we admit it or not, there is only darkness, my friends. And even with Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts, there can still be doubt. Just ask John the Baptist, a central figure in our gospel for tonight. A number of years ago, December 7th, 1941, there was a bombing of Pearl Harbor. And there was a commander in the squadron of planes that flew from Japan, flew and bombed Pearl Harbor. And Fuchida was the man who was leading the squadron from Japan. But there was, in April 18th of 1942, a bit of a retaliation. Because if that's all you have is evil against evil or good against evil, depending upon how we define it, you know, you've got to get revenge and get even, right? And so there was the Doolittle Squadron, the Doolittle Flyers. You know that name, I hope. Or otherwise, Google it and find out. It's an amazing story, right? And so they came up with a preposterous plan that would probably never work. And if it did work, none of the squadron would probably make it back alive. And so they usually have to have, for these bombers, they have to have like 1,400 feet of runway space. But instead, they were going to launch off of an aircraft carrier, and they would only have 400 feet. This was top secret, and they worked on it, and Doolittle was the first one, aircraft number one. There was 80 of these military personnel, five on each of 16 planes. And Doolittle was on the first one that made it off by the grace of God, and so did all 16 planes. And they made it to their destination, a Tokyo bombing. But most of them didn't have much fuel left over, so they tried to make it to China, where then they could be in safety and could be carted home. Now, in plane number 16, the bombardier was a man named Jacob DeShazer. Jacob DeShazer. His plane didn't make it to China. And so he and all five parachuted out, and they got captured by the Japanese, and for over 3 years, they were in a Japanese internment camp where they were, to say it mildly, treated shamefully, heinously, tortured, starved to death. In fact, Jacob had to watch one of his best friends, his buddies from the squadron, literally be starved to death and not be able to intervene and do anything about it. And Jacob said, when you live in that kind of hell, the only thing you can see is the enemy, and the only thing you can desire is retaliation and revenge and getting even. To meet evil with evil. Because all you can see is darkness. Well, Japan had gotten a new emperor that said we need to treat our prisoners better. And so Jacob had asked for a Bible. In the midst of his captivity, in the midst of the darkness, he asked for the Word of God, the Scriptures. And they granted it to him. And in the darkness, that's where he found the gift of the light, in God's Word alone. And here is the passage that set him free from captivity and darkness and hatred and revenge. It's from the crucifixion of Jesus, where Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jacob got the light. The light went on, and he realized that if someone doesn't have Jesus in their life, what do you expect their life to be about? We should expect it to be full of evil without Jesus, the light of the world. There's only darkness. And so he began to love and pray for his enemies as Jesus commands us to do in the Sermon on the Mount. He was liberated after about 35, 40 months of captivity, went home, and in Seattle, went to college and then to seminary and became a missionary in the Methodist Church. And he went back to Japan so that he could preach the gospel, the message of salvation in Jesus, the light of the world. And people were coming to faith. And he wrote a tract about his time of imprisonment in Japan. And lo and behold, Fuchida, the pilot who led the squadron in the attack against Pearl Harbor, read that tract that Jacob had written as his own testimony. And in 1950, Fuchida asked Jesus into his heart. He got the light. He got saved. And he joined Jacob DeShazer in the mission field, bringing the gospel to people in Japan. No longer hatred, animosity, identifying someone as your enemy that needs to be destroyed, but seeing someone in darkness that desperately needed the light of salvation and the only hope there is in the name of Jesus. Joyous light of heavenly glory. Loving face of God that comes into our darkness and sets the captive free. Well, John the Baptist is in a dark dungeon cell of captivity. You may remember that last week, John, the cousin of Jesus, I mean this faithful, bold witness, well, even when he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, he was already testifying. You remember that story, right? I mean, Jesus comes as a little embryo in the womb of Mary, and there is John the Baptist, a fetus in his mother's womb, and he goes, "Hey!" I mean, you talk about getting the light. You see this, right? And Elizabeth gets the light, and so does Mary. And they go, "Oh, my God, yes." Well, John the Baptist was bearing witness, and he was called by God to be a prophet like Elijah. Indeed, as Jesus will say, Elijah has come. And he's out in the wilderness. He's preaching a baptism of repentance, forgiveness of sins. And he's got an axe in his hand, an axe to grind, you might say, because the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Bear fruit. Otherwise, the tree's going to be cut down. And he's wearing camel's hair, and he's eating locust and wild honey, and he's bold. He's not pulling any punches. You know this preacher. He's fire and brimstone. He just lays it right out there. He pounds on the pulpit. John, he's into it, right? And you would think that people would be offended and upset. Oh, but no. They actually repent. And the crowds say, "What shall we do? We know we got to do something. What does repentance look like in daily life? Tell us what to do, John." And he says, "It's simple." And you remember what he says. "You got two coats, you only need one. Give one away. You got two bags of groceries, you got some pantry. Give it away. There's people that are hungry." John makes it so simple. The fruits of righteousness. The fruits of repentance, right? Well, a lot happens between Luke chapter 3 and Luke chapter 7, our gospel for tonight. At the end of Luke chapter 3, we find out that Herod, Antipas, has put John the Baptist in prison. Why? Well, because John is a truth teller. He wants the lost to be found. He wants the unsaved to be saved. He wants those living in darkness to get the light. So when Herod Antipas marries his half-brother Philip's wife, Herodias, who is also Herod Antipas' niece, yeah, you're right, that's called incest. John the Baptist says, "You can't do that. There's the Bible, you know. There's the law, you know. It's God's law. God says, no, you don't do that, Herod." And so what happens? Herod says, "I'll shut him up. Shut the doors, I'll lock him up, and I'll put him in the dark." And meanwhile, Jesus is preaching his first sermon in Luke 4 about Isaiah 61 and how the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to set the captive free, to give recovery of sight to the blind. Good news to the poor, right? I mean, it's all good. The acceptable day of the Lord. And then, from then on, Jesus is calling and teaching his disciples, doing the Sermon on the Plain, and healing, and healing, and healing. He takes the paralyzed and makes them unparalyzed, and he casts out demons, and he gets rid of leprosy, And John the Baptist has disciples, friends, close ones, that are evidently like a conduit. And they keep coming and giving a report to say, John, you should see what Jesus just did today. John, you'll never believe what happened today. I mean, he's doing all this stuff. He's getting it firsthand from his disciples. And so at the beginning of our gospel for tonight, it says, and his disciples came and reported to him all the things that were happening. So what's going on with John? This bold witness for Jesus has been locked up in confinement and been put in the dark. And it's taken its toll on him. You know, doubt is the ants in the pants of faith. And if you've ever had any doubt, you're in pretty good biblical company. I mean, Thomas, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Jonah, David, Abraham. Faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And doubt is the work of the evil one in our life. So why do you come to church? Why do you go to Bible studies? Why do you read your Bible every day? Why do you have devotion? I don't know. I know why I do. Because if I don't stay in the light, the darkness is going to find its way creeping into my heart and soul. It just will. I need to be reminded over and over again. I need assurances. Sit with someone who has a terminal illness, and all they want is for you to keep singing and speaking the promises of God's word. Tell me again. I got to know it's true, right? Because we have our doubts. As deep as faith is in our lives. So John the Baptist, he sends two of his disciples. He says, I need to send you on a little mission. I need you to go have a private conversation with Jesus, my cousin. And I need you to ask him one question. Are you the one? Or should we keep looking? You see, if Jesus isn't the one, you can keep looking until doomsday. And there won't be any hope. As C.S. Lewis says, Jesus was either a lunatic and a liar, or he's precisely who he said he is, the only begotten Son of God and the Savior of the world. So the disciples go, and in chapter 7, what's ironic is what they have just told John the Baptist about is that there was the centurion's beloved servant who was sick, and Jesus made him well. And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. That's a centurion. And then there's this widow whose Social Security and her Medicare is her only son. And he's dead. And as Jesus enters the city of Nain, you know what happens there, right? There's a funeral procession. And Jesus gets in the way. Don't you love this picture? Jesus gets in the way of death and says, you stop right there. And then he just utters a command. Arise. Get up, sleepyhead. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. And he does. This is what Jesus has been doing. But now these messengers come and they repeat John's question. John wants to know, are you the one or should we keep looking? And then it says that Jesus says, as he's doing cures and healings, as he's opening the eyes, you got to catch that in the gospel, as he's opening the eyes of the blind, the people who are in darkness and can't see, the light bulb goes on. You catch that? He's doing all that right in front of John's two disciples that have been sent on a mission. And then he says, now you go and tell John what you have personally with your own eyes and your own ears have heard and seen. You go tell him. And they depart. And we don't know much more about this, except we know that eventually in a few days, a few weeks, John the Baptist, who's on death row, will be executed because he dared to speak the truth and didn't recant. Now, this has been a question about who are you, Jesus? Are you the one or not? Did you notice what Jesus does? He says, what about John? I mean, he created quite a following, right? What about John? You think he's priestly? You think he's royalty? Oh, you think maybe he's a prophet? Got that right. More than a prophet. And then he does this beautiful centerpiece. Of those born among women, no one is greater than John. John, who's in prison, in darkness, has his doubts. No one is greater than John. But whoever is least in the kingdom, right? The little ones, they're greater than John. Did you catch that? That's pretty amazing. In our gospel, Jesus is flipping on the switch. Do you see? Do you see? We get the light. I'm getting it. And then what do we do with the light? Ignore it? Sit on it? Have no affiliation with it? Or as the Bible says, stay in the light, walk in the light. One of my favorite stories is about a little boy named Lenny. His official name is Lincoln Steffen. But Lenny tells the story of a memorable Christmas when all he wanted in his whole life that Christmas was just one present. He wanted a pony. And he wanted a saddle to go on that pony. And when his mom and dad and his sisters and everybody's asking, what do you want for Christmas? Lenny said, you know what I want. I just want that new pony and a saddle to sit on. That's all I want. And if I don't get the pony, then I don't want nothing. Well, that's pretty drastic. So Christmas morning came, and Lenny and his two sisters were up at 6 a.m., and they're down by the tree, and they're looking at the pile of presents for his one sister and pile of presents for his other sister, and absolutely nothing for Lenny. And he started to cry, and his sisters saw it, and they empathized with his pain. They started to cry. They ran to their rooms, left the pile of packages under the tree, and just wept for their brother. Lenny refused to eat that day. Later, he went out in the back area, kind of a little barn stable area that they had. He just was moping the whole day. And then he saw something. There was somebody riding a horse down the street. And he noticed that the person was looking at the house numbers. He looked at the house number of Lenny's, and he just kept riding the horse on. That was like the last straw for poor Lenny. He just collapsed on the ground, and he just cried like a baby. He was 8 years old at the time. Well, the guy at the horse on this kind of kid's saddle, He says, "Do you know, is there a Lenny Stephan around here?" And through his tears, Lenny looked up and said, "Yes, that's me." Well, then, this pony and saddle belongs to you. You see, years later, as an adult, Lenny looked back to that and he said, "I still to this day cannot tell you if that was my best Christmas or my worst Christmas." Because when you live in the darkness and there isn't someone there to remind you that Jesus is the light of the world, there's only darkness. You see, Lenny forgot that the Father was responsible for the gift. Lenny forgot that the Father was responsible for the gift. And when he began to doubt, when he took his eyes off of the truth, all he could have was despair. Get the light. We've gotten the light so that the light can live in us and shine through us. Rise, shine, give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. The first lesson for tonight: our God is in our midst. Paul's letter to the Philippians: the Lord is at hand. The light is here. Go and tell John what you see and hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.